Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Before you sit down, I felt like I had a word yesterday for our church, and I wanted to just declare it over you because I hadn't get to see some of you today. I said it in the 8:30 and then the 10, but I want to just release it over you. There's something powerful when you release the word. And I don't think it's an accident that yesterday I was reading this, and it was really the first time that I actually saw this. And I don't think it's an accident. I think it was for you today. And this is what it says. It's found in Joel 2:23, and it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion," that's you, God's people, "and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully." In other words, he has sustained you up until this point. Because he's faithful. "And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." Everybody say first month. It's the first month of 2018, and God is going to cause the latter rain to happen now. "The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil." The Bible says, "When we honor the Lord with our possessions and the first fruits of all of our increase, our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats will overflow with new wine." God is not a God of just enough. He's a God of overflow. He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing in 2018. "So I will restore you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame." Come on, God is not willing that his people will be put to shame. He is going to restore everything that the devil's taken from you in 2017 and before that. This is a year of recovery. God is going to restore you to who he's called you to be. And he's not just going to come in December of 2018. He's coming now. He's coming in the first month of 2018. The latter rain is coming to bring overflow and blessing into your world. Come on, if you believe that, give God some praise. One more time. He's moving quickly. He's a God that can accelerate you. He's a God that can accelerate you. All right, I better let you sit down real quick. You guys just sit down. I almost just threw my notes away. I can feel the power of God in here. I can feel the presence of God. God's going to speak to some people on Vision Sunday. On your seats, you have a card. And as I'm speaking tonight, feel free to write down different visions or dreams that God has given you. Maybe previously, before you got here tonight, or maybe he's going to give you some stuff tonight. I believe we're in an atmosphere of faith, and faith attracts God, and God can awaken things in this atmosphere, things that you're not even thinking about because you're in an atmosphere of faith. God can awaken, and I believe he's going to do that tonight with you. And so feel free to write that stuff down, and then at the end of the service, we're going to have you come forward, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe with you that 2018 is going to be your greatest year of your life. There's power when we agree, and so as you come up, we're going to agree with you that God's going to move on your life. Amen? Man, it's been a great week. We had our greatest intern intake of all time this week. Just a little sneak peek, too. I met with SEU, Southeastern University in Florida, and they're going to probably, we're trying to work it out, but they're going to probably partner with our internship to make us accredited and allow you to get a degree right here in C3 San Diego. It's a secret, though. Don't tell anybody. Live stream, don't tell anybody. So that was good. And then we had the Prime party last night right here. And our 50-plus people. Ross Schneider came up to me and said, man, the Prime guys know how to party. He came in here for some reason. And so make sure if you're not a part of Prime and you're 50-plus, get into it. It's really good. But this is Vision Sunday. And I want to talk to you tonight about vision. Have you ever daydreamed or dreamed about superpowers? Maybe after you've watched, you know, like some Marvel movie and you start to daydream, man, what power would I want? I dream about that quite often. I think about it quite often. I get inspired quite often. My wife and I just finished the different episodes on Netflix, 5 seasons. I know it's sad. 5 seasons of Arrow. And Arrow is a good show. And every time I watch that show, I feel like I can be a vigilante. The Arrow, he's not necessarily a superhuman, but he's got some superhuman, you know, reflexes and that sort of thing. And he shoots arrows, like pinpoint accuracy arrows. And it's like, if he needs an arrow to explode it, he reaches back and gets it. And somehow he always finds the arrow with the, you know, dynamite on the end. If he needs to fly away, he somehow finds that one that like allows him to fly away, sticks into the building and sucks him up. Or if he needs to rappel down a building, he finds that arrow. So I feel like I can be that guy after I watch that show. So as I'm putting the kids to bed and as I'm turning off the lights, I'm looking around saying, I hope somebody comes in my house. Because I feel empowered, like a superhero. But there's other things like, you know, superhuman strength. Like, which one would you want? Like the Hulk? That's pretty good. Or like superhuman speed, like the Flash? That's pretty good. Or maybe you could fly, like Supergirl. Or Superman. There's all these different superpowers that are fun to kind of daydream about and to think about, man, what would I do if I had that? Well, one of the reasons Superman is so successful in all of his movies, he like wins every time in his movies, is because he has X-ray vision. He has X-ray vision, so what he sees with his natural eyes never intimidates him or scares him, because he can always see through it. If there's a villain trying to hide, he knows he's okay because he can see through walls. He can see through ceilings. He can see through floors. He can see inside elevators. A villain can never escape him because he can always see through because he has X-ray vision. So nothing that he sees with his natural eyes ever intimidates him. In fact, there's no time in Superman's life where he lacks vision. You can take Superman and you can put him into a cave that is pitch black, where you and I couldn't even see our hand in front of our face. And you can put thick cement walls around him. You can bind his hands and bind his legs. And yet he's still gonna have vision, because all he has to do is switch from his natural eyes to his X-ray vision, and he can see through. There's never a place or a time where Superman cannot see because he has supernatural vision. We call it X-ray vision. The title of my message tonight is X-ray vision. I believe Christians, if we want to live a life that God wants us to live, we have to operate in X-ray vision. God is calling us to go big in 2018, and we have to be able to see despite our surroundings. We have to be able to see despite the darkness that surrounds us, despite the struggle that we're facing, besides the attacks that the enemy is forging against us, we have to be able to see. It's called X-ray vision. So tonight I want to talk to you about X-ray vision. I think it's amazing that in Joel 2:28, God is speaking through Joel, and he's talking about visions and dreams, and it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Isn't it amazing that right after the Holy Spirit comes, says God, the very first thing he talks about is dreams and visions. God wants to give you dreams and visions. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. And God knows that a form of X-ray vision is to come to you when you're sleeping sometimes. When the chaos that is in front of you on your natural eye, when your brain is turned off, God knows he can come into your spirit and speak to you about your future. That's how he does it. It's in dreams and in visions. And sometimes he has to come to us while we're sleeping so that we can actually see what he wants us to do. God never runs out of dreams. He never runs out of visions. He's the everlasting one. He has dreams for days. Your best days aren't behind you. Your best days are in front of you. Pastor Tommy Barnett says, never catch up to your dreams because God's always got another one for you. As soon as you get close, close your eyes and say, God, show me the next step. Show me the next dream. Never catch up to your dreams. God isn't short of dreams. He's not short of visions. And tonight I'm believing he's going to speak to you personally. I remember when I was in college or going into college, and I had friends telling me, I went to UCLA. It was a pretty fun school. It was a pretty cool school. And friends told me, and adults told me, man, the next 4 years are going to be the best years of your life in college. And so I had friends, you know, you're going to meet your best friends. You're going to have the best time of your life. How sad would it have been if I would have kind of taken that in and agreed with that and said, yeah, this is the best years of my life, the 4 years in college. If I would have agreed with them, I would have just been today eating Doritos, playing video games in my mom's basement. Because at 23, my life's over. My dreamless, visionless life at 23. Your best days aren't behind you. Your best days aren't in the next, your best days are ahead of you no matter where you are. God can take you higher, and God wants to take you higher in Jesus' name. And you always know, I want to tell you how you're going to know. You're always going to know it's a God vision when it's outside of your skill set, when it's beyond your experience, when it's going to take more than you, and it's always going to involve other people. That's a God vision. So if God's speaking to you today, tonight, and you can do it by yourself, it's probably not a God vision. It's probably your vision. So listen carefully about what God's telling you to do. The first thing that you need to know, if you want to have X-ray vision in this life, is you need to know that God is good. You need to know that God is good. In fact, you need to go and know that God is awesome. God is better than good. He's awesome. Proverbs 29:18 in the Message, I love the way it says it. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals or to what he shows you, they are most blessed. So this is saying that if we're not seeing what God is doing in our lives, then we're going to stumble all over ourselves in this life. But if we can just see what God is revealing to us, that's when we're going to be the most blessed. You can be safe with God because he has your best intentions in mind for you. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Hebrews says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then, being evil, is talking about just human beings, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In James, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, down from our Father. In Luke 12:32, it says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the kingdom is pleasure, is joy, is prosperity, is healing, is blessing, is love, is joy, is peace. There's all these things in the kingdom, and the Bible says it's God's good pleasure to give it to you. I'm telling you, you can trust God because God is awesome and God is good. I've told you this story before, but my wife and I are married 15 years in September this year, and so we like to go to Cancun. It's one of the things we like to do, and so this year I'm trying to figure out how we're going to get to Cancun. It's on my vision card. So, but when we go to Cancun, we stay in these, you know, fairly nice hotels, and they're all-inclusive. All-inclusive hotels, there's nothing like it. You walk in, and because you've already paid, and so when you walk in, it's like the whole place is yours. Anything you want, you can have. Anything you want, because you've already paid for it. So anything you want, you can have. You can walk into, like, the treats place. You guys just went to Cancun. You can walk into the treats place, and you can have, like, ice cream, you can have a brownie, you can have fudge, you can have sweets, you can have candy, and you can ask for it all at the same time and they have to give it to you because you've already paid for it. We have steak as an appetizer because we can. We order room service and don't eat it because we can. All you want, whenever you want. Last time I was there, I found out we had a butler like halfway through, and I heard this other guy say he ordered a lavender pillow. And so I ordered a lavender pillow. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know if it was going to be like a purple pillow. But just so you know, let me teach you. A lavender pillow is a pillow that has lavender in it that smells. And it's supposed to make you sleep better. So I ordered a lavender pillow because I can. And what I love about the service in Cancun at these hotels is no matter what you ask them to get, they have to get it. So even though, you know, you ask them to get something that's not served at the pool, but it's served at the second floor, you know, a restaurant, they go get it because you've already paid for it. It's all inclusive. They have to. So they come back and they're sweating and they're like, man, here you go. And as soon as you say thank you, they say, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to serve you. It's a pleasure to give you anything you want in this hotel because you've already paid for it. Jesus Christ has paid full price for everything that you have and everything that you're ever going to need. And it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom and all that is in it. He's a good God. He's a good God, and he loves you. He's already paid for it. The reason I'm camping on this, on his goodness is because the devil wants you to think that Christianity is all about rules and regulation and that's boring. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about relationship. You serve an adventurous, exciting, loving God that wants to bless you. But here's the thing. If you don't believe that God is good, if that's not within you, if that's not foundational in your spirit, you're never going to exercise your faith towards him. Because why would you exercise your faith towards somebody you think might harm you? When God gives you a vision, you have to know that he's good because the vision is probably going to come with some challenge. It's probably going to come with some challenge. You might have to make some changes. We talked about it last week. You might have to take some stuff off. You might have to release some relationships, change some habits, change your language. You might have to make some changes in your life, and so it's going to be a sacrifice. So if you don't believe that God is good and that he has your best intentions at the front of his mind, then you might not exercise your faith towards that. If you don't think God is a healer, you're not going to exercise your faith towards that, and you might stay sick. Now, if you don't think God is good, then you're not going to exercise your faith towards the vision that he gives you because it's going to cause sacrifice and pain potentially. So you have to know he's good. You have to know that what he has for you is the best thing for you. That's why you have to know he's good. I couldn't find or think of a story in the Bible where God gave somebody a vision and there wasn't challenge. They had to know God was good. I mean, Moses, God comes to Moses in a burning bush. What is that? In a burning bush, he says, Moses, you're going to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses is like, hello, Pharaoh the king, the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh doesn't want to let him go. But you better believe if God gives you a vision from heaven, he's going to provide a way for you to fulfill it. So what God does, he goes behind the scenes and he whispers in Pharaoh's ear and he says, Moses is like God to you. So then Moses comes up and he realizes in Exodus 7, verse 1, the Bible says that God speaks to Moses and says, I've already made you like God to Pharaoh. God provided a way for Moses to deliver the Israelites because he gave him the vision to do it. Joshua, you're going to take all the Israelites into the promised land. God, there's giants and fortified cities. God provides a way. He gives them a shout. Jesus, you're gonna reconcile the world to me. But oh, by the way, you're going to have to go through crucifixion. But Jesus had a vision for the joy set before him. He was able to see through the crucifixion into your face, into your eyes. He had x-ray vision through the crucifixion because he knew the vision that God had given him. The disciples are supposed to preach the gospel across the whole world. They were persecuted. They were beaten. They were stoned. They were put in jail. All but one were martyred. They were thrown in hot oil. But they had a vision, and they knew that what God had asked them to do was the best thing for their life. We have to know that God is good, and we have to be able to see through the struggle and the disappointment and the trials that we're going to face. But you can't see through that stuff unless you know God is good. Luke 5, 12 to 14 is one of the greatest x-ray vision stories in the Bible, and it says this. It says, and it happened when Jesus was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. Everybody say, saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Then immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest, because back then the priests also acted as doctors, and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses had commanded. Side note, I love how Jesus only sent healed people to doctors to confirm their healing. There's going to come a time at C3 San Diego when the only people we're going to send to doctors are healed people to confirm their healing and bring back the testimony. Because we are a church that believes in power. We are a church that believes in power. That's a side note. That was free. But here's the thing. There was a man in a certain city, and he was full of leprosy, yet he still saw Jesus. He still found a way to look through his situation, to look through his struggle, to look through his leprosy. He was full of leprosy, yet he still saw Jesus. And because he saw Jesus, he exercised his faith towards Jesus in healing, and he got healed. The devil will try to get you so focused on your struggle, so focused on your disappointment, so focused on your leprosy that you can't see Jesus. Because he knows if you can see Jesus, that breakthrough and healing is your portion. That breakthrough is in your future. If you can just see Jesus despite, if you can just exercise x-ray vision despite the sickness that's on your body, despite the struggle that's in your finances, despite the fact that you might be losing your home or whatever, if you can still see Jesus, then you can exercise your faith towards him and he will rescue you out of that thing. I'm telling you, he is a good, good God. Come on, say he's a good God. The second thing you need to understand, if you want to have x-ray vision in this life and achieve the vision that God has called you to achieve, is you got to know that you are good. In fact, you are very good. You are very good. If you're religious, that might have just messed you up a little bit. But the devil will try to condemn you for your sins God's already forgiven you for. He will try to trap you in your past by accusing you and causing you to feel shameful and guilty. Shame and guilt will trap you to your past because you're never shameful or guilty for something that you haven't done yet. You're shameful and guilty for stuff that you've done in your past. And so as you are condemned by that and as you agree with the devil, you start to look back and it puts a drag on your life. The devil wants to trap you in your past through shame and guilt. But you need to know that you are good, that God died on a cross and completely wiped away your sins as far as the east is from the west. If you don't think you're good, you won't believe God can use you. God's original plan for you was for you to be very good. Whenever you want to know God's original plan, all you got to do is go back to the beginning. Here's what it says, Genesis 1:26. It says, then God said, let us, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. Before they did anything, God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it. Then verse 31 says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were the sixth day. Now you need to understand the first 5 days of creation, everything that God created, he looked at and he said, that was good. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that was good. But then the Bible says he made man, male and female in his own image, and he said, ah, it's very good. It's very good. His intention for you is very good. He created you in his image and in his likeness. That means you're like him. Everybody else or everything else he created kind of outside of himself. He said, bird, beasts of the field, I'm going to create you and then I want you to multiply after your own kind. Birds of the air, I created you up here. I want you to multiply after your own kind. Fish of the sea over here, I want you to multiply after your own kind. But then he said, hey, why don't we make man in our image and in our likeness? It's like he reproduced himself in you. He made you a little bit like him in his image and in his likeness. It seems ridiculous to think that God, who created you in his image and in his likeness, that it wasn't good. Doesn't that seem ridiculous? In fact, you are very good. You are very good. You might say, if you're a religious person, it's okay. You might say, but wait a second, what about when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what do I need to do to to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's no not one good, only God is good. So you might say, we're not good, only God is good. First thing, Jesus wasn't trying to become God to this guy. He wasn't trying to be the Messiah to this guy. The second thing is, Jesus hadn't lived the perfect life yet. There was still potential for him to sin. So he said, there's no one good except for God. God is the only one. He wanted to point this guy to Jesus. He wanted to point this guy to grace, and he had yet to die yet. Then you might say, well, what about in Jeremiah? It says our hearts are desperately wicked. Who could know it? It's a good one. That's right. You were. Your heart was desperately wicked. Who could know it? Jeremiah was in the Old Testament. Jesus died in the New Testament. And the Bible says, those who are in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your heart was desperately wicked, but now you've been redeemed. You've been reconciled to him. You've been set free from the power of sin. Galatians 4, 6 to 7 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. God comes into your heart, you are no longer desperately wicked. Crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God comes into your heart and he changes your position from a slave to a son. It's a completely different position that now you and I get to operate from. We're now sons, not slaves. Sons have, as it says in here, we have access to the kingdom. A slave, you get told what to do. A son, you're in the family. So once you get born again into the family, all of a sudden, you have this inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. You go from a slave to a son. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. When Jesus comes into your life, now all of a sudden you become one spirit with him. You are no longer bad or in your sin. Now you are very, very, very good. You are now one spirit with God. At some point, we have to start to believe that what we do, God does, and that what God does, we do. We're one spirit. Now, that's gonna take a process of time to get rid of our flesh, to crucify ourselves so that we can allow God, Christ, to live in us. But we have to start to believe that we are one with God. I had a guy one time, actually, I've had multiple people come up to me before, and they'll tell me a story about God's goodness in their life. And I remember saying to this one gentleman, and I'm not blaming him, it's just bad teaching, but I said, you're a good man. And he said, no, I'm not good. Only God is good. I just don't think that's the right attitude to have for a son. No, I'm not good. There's only one that is good. You know, like I'm a worm. I came from the dust. I'm gonna return to the dust. I'm a worm. I'm not worthy. If I'm God in heaven, I'm not looking at you going, I can use him. I'm saying, next guy. If there's an assignment, a God-sized vision, God's not gonna look at people that say, I'm a worm, I'm not worthy. They're gonna look at people who look at God and are willing to accept the fact that they are sons, that they are daughters of the Most High God. They are worthy to accept the fact that they've been given authority to take dominion in this world. God is looking for people who can accept the fact that they are very good, that they have been redeemed, that in Christ they are good. False humility says, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. You know why? So they don't have to take responsibility. So they get super spiritual on you and say, no, I'm just a worm. Because they know as soon as they accept the responsibility of the Son of God, there will be expectations on them to advance the kingdom, to be blessed, to be a blessing. So they say, I'm not worthy. It makes me want to throw up in my mouth. You are a son. You are a daughter. God died, gave his life so you could be successful in yours. He wants you to have dominion. False humility just comes from insecurity, just comes from fear of failure. True humility says, I'm very good because of what Jesus did. We can boast in him. None of us are worthy, but we just became worthy when Jesus decided that we could become worthy. The devil stole your innocence and your righteousness in the Garden of Eden. But then 2,000 years ago in a different garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus made a decision to bring it back. He made a decision to bring your innocence back. He made a decision to bring your authority back. He made a decision to make your righteousness come back. The Bible says he became sin so that you could become righteous. So now when God in heaven looks down on the earth and he sees his sons and his daughters, he sees people that are pure, that are clean, that are blessed, that are righteous. He doesn't see worms. He doesn't see people trapped in sin. He sees people that are free. He sees sons and he sees daughters and he sees people being redeemed from how they were meant to be. Very good. Very good. You are very good, says God. You are very good. This is very important. We need to walk around like a boss. You're a boss in him. As soon as you get outside of him, not a boss. You're a worm. But in him, you're a boss. That's how we have to operate. That's how we have to operate. God wants sons and daughters that are walking around like bosses because he knows there's a devil that's going to come try to steal your life, kill your future, destroy your vision. So God needs people that are secure in him. 1 John 4:17, this could be one of the most important scriptures in the Bible. It says, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is now in heaven, so are we in this world. So that begs the question, how do you see him? Because as he is, so are you in this world. See, how you see God won't change him. It won't change him. He's Almighty God. He's the Ancient of Days. He was, is, and is to come. He's the creator of everything. He has authority over the whole earth. How you see him won't change him, but how you see him will change you. Because as he is in your eyes, so are you in this world. Once you start to see God for who he is, you'll start to see you for who you are. You are very good. You are powerful. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:20, I'm ending with these two scriptures. Ephesians 1:20 to 21 says, which God worked in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's exciting because God took Jesus and he raised him up, sat him at the right hand of himself. As we learned this morning, the right hand in the Bible is always authority. So Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God. He's seated because it is finished. He's already done the work. Now it's just up to us to outwork it. So he's seated as a king at the right hand of the Father. This is the exciting part, Ephesians 2, the next chapter, 4 to 6 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved all of us, because he's a good God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Say together. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together. Say together. And he made us sit together, say together, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know what that means? God has raised up Jesus far above every principality, every dominion, every might, everything that has a name, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And then the Bible says that God raised us up, even when we were dead in our trespasses, because he loved us so much, but he raised us up in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That means you are seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality, power, dominion, and might. God has ordained you as a son. God has given you authority. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, far above. Let's stop living under what we're called to live over. You are called to live over. 2018, you can do it. You can do what God's called you to do. You can make history this year. 2008, your greatest year of your life. The latter rain is coming, and it's coming down hard, and it is going to bring blessing. It is going to germinate the seed that you've been sowing. God is good. God is awesome. You are good. You are very good. Do you believe that tonight? If you can believe those two things, you're going to be able to face struggle in your life. And you're going to see right through struggle. And you're going to be able to see Jesus. And you're going to be able to keep on going. It's called X-ray vision. Tonight, I'm believing God is going to give you a vision. And as soon as you believe in your spirit that He is good and that you are good, you're going to be able to accomplish everything that God has set you to do. Why don't you get out your cards? If you haven't written on them yet, I want you to write down whatever God is speaking to you about. In a second, I'm going to invite the ministry team up. I'm going to pray for you corporately. Pastor Jurgen told this story this morning, but I'm going to repeat it because I was with him at Dream City Church in Phoenix last year, last February. And we're sitting there at Dream City Church, and the whole conference at the end, it kind of culminates with this dream card, this vision card. And it tells you to write your vision on the card, and then you go up to Prayer Mountain. It's this cool mountain that they have behind their church, and everybody's praying and believing God for the dreams that they've written down on this card. And as we're sitting there filling out our cards, I can remember Pastor Jurgen nudging me and saying, "Don't make it easy on God." Because he was having this dialogue, if you heard him this morning, he was having this dialogue with God, and he was saying, "Yeah, you know what I don't like? Pastors with no faith." And so he's having this dialogue with God, and so Pastor Jurgen's like, "Oh yeah, 16 campuses." But he didn't really believe it. He just kind of wrote it to get back at God because God was saying, "Don't make it easy on me." And so Pastor Jurgen was telling me, he's like, "Go bigger. Go bigger. Don't make it easy on God. With God, all things are possible." And so I'm like scratching stuff out and I'm writing new things. Adding zeros to stuff. And so we go up to the mountain and we're praying over our dream cards. And Pastor Jurgen was telling the story about how when he came down, all of a sudden, because he wrote it down, all of a sudden he started to believe it in his spirit. And then he started to declare it to all of us. Now he's on the hook, kind of. But I'm telling you, once you write something down, the Bible says to write it down, make it clear. Those who read it will run with it. Write it down. And once you write it down, you'll find that you start to believe it. God might speak it and you might not believe it, but write it down. Then just begin to declare it. Just begin to believe it. Just begin to renew your mind to the Word of God. Just begin to know that God is good, that God is powerful, and with Him, all things. Anything that you write down is possible. And then leave a little room for God, because He can do exceedingly abundantly above what you've ever asked or even thought about. Don't be bound to what you write down. Leave Him a little bit of room to do above whatever you write down. Amen? Why don't you stand up? I'm just going to do a general prayer over you. The worship team is going to sing a couple of songs. The ministry team, would you guys come forward? If I pray and you're like, "Man, what I've written down is kind of out there. It's kind of audacious." Or maybe you've just never even done a vision card before, and you're saying, "Man, I could use some agreement from one of our pastors and leaders in the front." Feel free to come down. They'll anoint you, pray with you, agree with you, and we're going to see God do amazing things. But why don't you hold up your vision cards right where you are? Come on, you guys ready to believe big in 2018? We're only in week two. We still got all year left, and we still got 2 weeks of January, the first month, when the latter rain is about to come. Father, I thank You for all these amazing people. God, I thank You that You've assembled an army, some soldiers in San Diego at C3. God, that You have ordained as sons and as daughters. Father, You've put them, You've seated them at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank You tonight that You are good, that You are powerful, that You want the best for us. So Father, I pray right now that You would begin to awaken people to the dreams, to the visions of God for their life. And Father, that You would empower them to get it done. In Jesus' name, Father, we declare right now the latter rain is coming down, that blessing, that recovery, that restoration is happening in 2018. That Father, this will be the greatest year of our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.